From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back. And I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there. Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday to you. TGIF, we are glad to be with you here for the next couple hours on Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester. And it is going to be a hot one today, Tommy. So get ready for that, everybody. It'll be a hot weekend. Boy, we're flirting with 100. We made it the entire time without hitting 100. And here we go. We might bust it today. Hopefully we get some clouds and keep that away. That was a record I was kind of fond of, you know?
Yeah, I was a fan of it not getting up over 100 at all. So, yeah, it looks like that may happen today into this weekend. I played some golf yesterday. Part of the media day for the Heritage Classic out at Rolling Hills Country Club. Our friend Brandon Zinner played with me and Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. It was a hot one. It wasn't unbearable. The cloud cover, as you mentioned, helped a lot. There was a breeze that helped. But if it gets sunny and the wind dies down, it's going to be brutal out there.
Well, and listen, it's I say this all the time, and this is the most old man thing to say in the world. I get it. It's not the heat, it's the humidity. Earlier this week, it was hot, but the humidity hadn't kicked in. Was it like 95 degrees? I was out on a youth soccer turf field in a suit, and it was fine. It's the humidity when it rolls in around here that just annihilates you if there's no wind. And that's what we're looking at. So be careful out there, everybody. Stay hydrated. I'm in the iced tea business, so it's not terrible for that.
Yeah, there was a beverage cart girl, by the way, that was riding around Rolling Hills, and she told us at one point that really nobody was taking advantage of the free beer. It was all the Gatorade and the water. I drank so much Gatorade and water yesterday, but it was worth it.
Like, do you have an ice bucket in there, and can you just dump it on?
Exactly.
We'll survive together. We'll survive together. We'll all be just fine. We've been pretty spoiled this summer. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up on the show today. We're going to check in on the FedEx Championship, at the St. Jude Championship, the FedEx Cup playoffs on the PGA Tour. We'll take you out there. Eric Johnson, who's kind of becoming our golf guy, will keep us apprised. Of course, we've got our eye on Sam Stevens. Didn't have the best opening round. Needs to make a little noise. Do they do a cut when there's only 70 guys tournaments?
No, it's a no-cut tournament, and they will roll forward and however they finish, and depending on the year-long standings, the top 50 will move on.
So that actually enhances, I think, his chances to move up the leaderboard. So that's good news. But we'll check in there coming up in the next hour. We'll also get you ready for the Royals starting up the series, starting up the stretch of games, as we mentioned yesterday, that needs to be one of their best stretches of baseball this year, most likely. We get the plan for the Chiefs in the preseason opener. We get some preseason football yesterday we can talk about a little bit. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring free mini homemade root beer floats with any kids' meal purchase, and that runs through the end of today. A limited supply of WBC keepsake mini mugs will be given out. Hurry in today. WBC is pizza and root beer made here. Tommy, did you catch any NFL preseason action? It was a light television schedule last night.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of it. I followed a little bit of the action that went on last night. I saw Anthony Richardson exited the game for the Colts with an injury. At least so far in his young NFL career, he's having a hard time staying healthy. And so I don't know the severity of that injury. It was a finger, I believe. So we'll find out, you know, if that impacts his status in week one. He's trying to bounce back after a disappointing sophomore season.
In that game, DJ Giddens made his Colts debut. He had six carries in the game, had a target as a receiver. I believe the expectation is for him to, you know, be the primary backup. We'll see. To Jonathan Taylor. We'll see how he plays, but that was something to watch in that game. That's a thing. We'll try to, you know, keep our eye on things in the preseason. It's so funny. Every team does things a little differently. Joe Burrow dropped back 10 times yesterday, Tommy, which, you know, Ja'Marr Chase caught four balls. Like, this may have been the Bengals, you know, giving us the most that we'll see in the preseason. Like, it's all so different now with these three games. We'll talk about this next in the next segment as it pertains to the Chiefs and what you do and what's the best way to do this and deal with it. But you know, that there's an example of a team that just kind of this, I'll bet you that's the most we see out of them. But like Philadelphia on the other side, they didn't play anybody. It didn't seem like. So it's a crapshoot. I think the preseason is running its course, but we'll discuss. We know what the Chiefs' plan is, well, at least what Andy Reid says it is. It almost never actually is what he says it's going to be in this first one, but we'll discuss. We do have that plan out for it. We get no movement in some of these other stories we're following in the NFL. We do get a huge bombshell. Did you see Slater for the Chargers?
Yeah, yep, that's a big deal.
Goodness gracious. Rashawn Slater, who just became the highest paid tackle in the league, I believe, out for the season, carted off. It would be hard to find a more snake bitten franchise injury wise than the Chargers.
Yeah.
Over the last 10, 15 years. I mean, it's always something with them. And now that, I mean, that is seismic in the AFC West. So We look at that and we let the dust settle a little bit. I'm not sure, because I had the Chargers second in that division, had the Chargers in the playoffs. I got to reevaluate that now. Does it put the Broncos ahead of them? Does it even take them out of the playoffs? They're starting left tackle, who you paid like is the best left tackle in football.
Yeah, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the same injury that Josh Simmons suffered that ended his career, the patella tendon. I believe that's what Josh Simmons had as well. And then, like, that's a brutal injury. And it's one that, you know, Simmons has bounced back from, and that's great for the Chiefs, but obviously it contributed to the decline in, you know, where Simmons was drafted back in April. So it's not an easy injury to come back from and to overcome. You know, we'll see how long it takes Slater to get back. I know he's out for the year, but it's not just a simple, you know, rehab and you're back to the exact form you were before. That's a huge blow to the Chargers.
Injuries in the NFL preseason are one of my I want to sit here and tell you they're my least favorite thing in sports. That's maybe a little hyperbolic. They're one of my least favorite things in sports. I hate NFL preseason injuries.
Wasn't even a preseason game. I guess they were practicing yesterday. Right,
yeah. I just mean injuries in camp, injuries, and like they're just like they're going to happen because it's football, but they sting more than when they happen during the season because you have all this energy, you're so excited about your season, and then it's just like boom. Now, for the Chargers, what's interesting is remember they took Joe Alt out of Notre Dame very high in last year's draft. He's been playing right tackle. So I think they have a decent plan. That's why I say I'm not sure what I want to do with them. They'll probably, I assume, just slide him over to left. But you're talking about a team with with bookends like that, that was going to be one of the real strengths of this team, was this O-line and those guys and Herbert and everything else. So they just added Keenan Allen, the Chargers. There's no more Charlie Brown football team, Lucy football team than the Chargers. Like, they had every reason to be so dadgum excited. And then this happens before they even suit up for a preseason game. That's rough. My wife's a Chargers fan. She doesn't even know who that is, or she's heard those days are beyond her, but it still sucks because I watch them for her to let her know how they're doing. We'll come back. We got more Sports Daily. Speaking of football, let's talk about the Chiefs' plan in the opener. That's next. Don't go away. It's Albrecht and Castor on a Friday.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Caster. If you want to win some HTO, you can do that right now. Text the keyword T to 20357. That'll get you a free cup of iced tea for East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. And while you're in this weekend at East Wichita's location at 21st and 127th, if you're a lobster fan, the Cousins Maine Lobster Truck will be at the East location this Sunday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. We did this out west a few weeks ago. It was very popular, giving everybody out east a chance now to come try some of that lobster. So if you want to come out and check out the Cousins Maine Lobster food truck, you can do that at East Wichita's HTO location at 21st and 127th. Come out, get in line, get ready. It's very popular. Get some iced tea while you wait. And the good thing about that location, Tommy, is there's plenty of places to sit out, bring a blanket, hang out. There's lots of room, lots of space. So come out and enjoy some lobster if you'd like at HTO East Wichita on Sunday. we come back in here to Sports Daily. Tommy, the Chiefs give us the, you know, the plan of sorts, and Andy Reid, I mean, we could play this back from the last couple of years and it'd be the same thing. He has his plan. His plan doesn't change much, at least what he tells us, which is, you know, the quarterbacks are going to play a quarter. Starters will play a little bit, and the starters will kind of be based on what the quarterbacks do. As in, if you see Mahomes out there, you're probably going to see the starting offense. And if you see the second string quarterback out there, you're not going to see. And that's, you know, in the first preseason game, it always is a quarter. It almost never is, though. Like, it's usually like a series. He says a quarter, and he's like, and of course he leaves it open to interpretation. But then usually those guys are out after a series in the opener. So take it for what it's worth. That's what Andy Reid had to say yesterday, but probably we're not going to get a full quarter out of the starters.
Yeah, there's that famous clip from Anchorman with Ron Burgundy where he goes, "I don't believe you," and then he leans back and he lights a cigarette. That's what I feel whenever I hear Andy Reid talking about how he's going to play his players during the preseason. I love Andy Reid. I don't ever believe what he says in the preseason. And I don't blame him. I'm not upset about it.
So I don't think he's actually like lying either.
Right.
I think he is playing it by ear. And usually that's like, all right, I've seen enough. Let's get him out of there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's like trying to deceive anyone. It's the preseason.
Yeah. I just think that it's when you're talking about the very first preseason game, who really cares? I mean, like, nobody really cares. Like, it's nice to see, I guess, some of the things that you may need to have questions answered about. But really, at least for me, usually with the Chiefs, it's very little about the actual starters. It's more about depth pieces. It's more about, you know, rookies, maybe, you know, seeing how they've come along. Those are the big things for me. It's not, again, necessarily even what the starting offense does or how the rotations look on the defensive side of the ball. It's more about depth and who some of those positional type battles that we go through the preseason wondering who's going to make the team and who's not. That's really, by and large, in the preseason what you're looking at.
Yeah, look, I think it's different every year for different players. Mahomes, here's what I would say about Mahomes and Kelce and like the real long timers. I would trust them. Like, what do you need to get ready? Like, what do you need? If you're the offensive staff, hey, Mahomes, like, well, how many series do you want to play? One, none, five? Great. Doesn't matter. We'll trust you on that. So that's kind of how I approach it. I think the preseason, in a lot of ways, and this is where we disagreed last year with Hollywood Brown and what happened with him. I think with new players, it does have more value. The problem is just like Slater yesterday with the Chargers. The problem is it's football and guys get hurt in practice. Guys get hurt all the time. So I don't think you can be scared of it, but I think you can be smart with it. Last year, to me, Hollywood needed time. This year, no chance. He's been there long enough. The only players that I think are truly going to benefit from it are Josh Simmons, and I'm talking about the players we're really paying attention to, really any of the rookies, quite frankly, but I think there is a little bit more emphasis this year for Simmons and for Jalen Royals. Royals, because there's a good chance they're going to lean on him more early in this season than they ever thought they were going to have to. And so the more reps he can get out there, the more he can do. He's looked very good in practice. I'm sure you've seen the videos, but the more he can get out there and actually work through anything at game speed is probably a good thing. And quite frankly, with Simmons, like, we've got to make sure he's healthy enough and good enough to get out there at true game speed. Are you going to get true game speed in a preseason game? Probably against an edge rusher. You're not going to have a blitzing situation, but why would the guy on the other side of you not be going as hard as they can? So I do think for some of these guys, it will be good to get them in there. And then the thing about the preseason that's fun is you've got all the position battles, right? You've got guys playing for their jobs. Once you get deeper into a preseason game, you might not know everybody, but these are guys that are fighting for roster spots. I also, like, I don't want to see Isaiah Pacheco much. Boy, don't you want to see Breshard Smith? What kind of juice he has?
I'd like to see him out of the backfield. I mean, that's the whole reason why, you know, they brought him in, catching passes out of the backfield. I'd like to see what they can do, you know, with him. I think that I've said it before that when you're looking at these guys and how you're going to use them in this preseason game tomorrow. I think I mentioned this yesterday. If there's a player that is a starter that was just recently signed to a contract, there's no reason to play them. I don't want to see him. I don't want to see George Karloftis out there. I don't want to see Trey Smith. I mean, maybe like for a series, you know, maybe. But if you've invested a good amount of money in some of these players, Nick Bolton is another example of somebody that they just paid. If you just paid a starter, don't risk it. Like there's no, well, right. There's no reason to risk it. Exactly.
Unless he, unless he tells you he wants it. And then I trust him. Right. That's like the other guys. Like I find it hard to believe Mahomes would ever be comfortable just sitting out a preseason. If Nick Bolton thinks he needs to get in there and just, you know, kind of get slapped around a little bit to get his, then fine. You know, you've got to help those guys put on the governor, because I'm sure some of them would like to just play any chance they get. But if, you know, if you're having a conversation and Nick Bolton's like, yeah, I feel like I could use a series or two. Okay, good. Because it's football and there's always an injury risk. There's an injury risk in practice, whatever. But yeah, you have to govern and you have to throw the governor on a little bit with some of these guys. I don't know. And I would have to, we'd have to ask one of the former players, like, what, how much difference is there in a preseason game and a full speed practice? Like, how much more can you gain from that? And that kind of brings us to the elephant in the room of, like, do we really need three preseason games?
No, absolutely
I feel like we need one. Eventually, this is going to get there will be another regular season game added. We're going to get to 18 games. And I think the easy answer there is to cut one of the preseason games. Then we have two. Two is better than three. Three is better than four, which is what it used to be. But I still, like, we really need just like one of these, right? You go to high schools, like no level of football are you playing scrimmages anything.
Nobody's playing preseason games. Like in the NCAA, there aren't preseason games. They just roll right into it. And
well, a lot of them do cupcake games. We're not going to see that this year out of K-State or KU, but you know, a lot of years they do. I don't know. And I do know why the league has clung to it, is because they can sell tickets to these and they kind of force you to, right? You know, season ticket holders are required to buy preseason tickets, and you see these stadiums half empty. Teams don't care. They sold the tickets, right? So I just think the easiest answer, and it'll make everybody happy, and they'll just have to negotiate it out on how it is to add the other regular season game, take away a preseason game, add a second bye week, and get the Super Bowl to the Sunday before President's Day. I mean, it is staring at us in the face. We get the national holiday at that point. You get the hangover day at that point. You get a second bye week, which would make it. I cannot imagine players would not welcome an added game with open arms if it meant they could get a second bye week during the season. And then you can get rid of one of the preseason games, because who cares? That's what's going to be the case the next time they go to the table. And as soon as this can change, they're going to make that change. Why wouldn't they? It's so logical.
You know, it may have to change the way that teams evaluate who's getting cut and the way that they cut down rosters and the timing of all of that, because a lot of that is judged on or based on the weeks of preseason, and you have to get your roster down to a certain point by this date and then down to another point by another date. That's going to change as well. And the way that teams evaluate players and figuring out, you know, who's going to make the cut and who's not, that a lot of that is going to probably end up being far more based on training camp and how players are performing at training camp. If you don't have multiple preseason games to evaluate that, I don't think that's the worst thing in the world, but I do think it's going to require teams to adjust the way that they think and the way that they evaluate these players.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. A couple other preseason notes. Aaron Rodgers will not play. He had said he'll do whatever Mike Tomlin wants him to do. I believe historically Aaron Rodgers doesn't play a lot of preseason. I would imagine he'll get at least a few reps. Don't you think this preseason he'll get a few reps? He needs a few reps, I would think, in a new offense with the new players and everything else. I do think there's probably a better than 50-50 chance, Tommy, that he's better than he was a year ago. What do you think about Rodgers this year?
Well, I think first in the conversation about preseason, if he does have any kind of reps, I think the directive to his offensive line and the players around him is do not let him get touched. Do whatever you need to do to make sure that he is not touched at all by the defense. Then I would imagine the directive to the defense is get after him as much as you possibly can in the limited amount of time that he's out there on the field. I don't know. Is it bad for me to say I don't particularly care? Like, I don't particularly care how he is this year. I think he's going to be average. He clearly has like diminished value, and he has.
I think he'd be better than that.
He's had diminished value over the last 3 years. I mean, from when he won that final MVP, and I know he was injured for the vast majority 2 years ago, but it's been diminishing returns from Aaron Rodgers, ever since he won that MVP, and I don't see any reason why all of a sudden that's going to flip on its head and change, and he's going to be better than what he was. He'll be fine. Well, he'll probably be okay.
I think because they'll be better. I think the team will be better than the Jets were a year ago. I think they're better coached and all those things. I do think it matters to some degree because the Steelers, like, we have to think of them as a playoff team, don't we? I mean, they're always there, and now they added the best quarterback they've had there in a very, very long time. Like, he will be their best option since Ben Roethlisberger was healthy.
He may be their best option
at the end of the career.
He may be their best option, but it doesn't mean that he's a great quarterback anymore in his career.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's a great. I don't know if he's. I mean, I think he was fine last year. I just my thing with it is, like, we're all so tired of Aaron Rodgers that I think we just want to wash our hands of it. But the reality is a playoff team every single year just got better at their worst position, which is quarterback. I don't think they become a contender or anything, but I mean, there's a really good chance the Steelers got better.
I think they're a complete unknown. I think that you can look at them not unlike the way we look at a lot of college football teams where there's a lot of turnover and you're like, I just have no idea how to even assess them. They go from Russell Wilson and George Pickens to Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf. Like, there's, and I know a lot of the other pieces are still there, right? Like, it might very well be an upgrade. It might very well be an upgrade. I think
it's not enough of one.
I think the jury's still out. I don't think we'll know until we actually see it in action.
Right. And that, back to the preseason point, I know he's not playing this first one. Surely he's going to get a couple of reps. Another story, CBS had this, I guess. Aiden Hutchinson, Tommy, has been so dominant in Lions camp that the coaches have had to implement, do you see this, the Hutch rule, which means basically when he disrupts a play and gets to the quarterback, they just let him keep playing. Like, he was becoming so disruptive in camp that they couldn't work anything because he just kept getting to the quarterback, that they basically just said, just keep going. Like, stop. Like, we don't blow the way. We still got to work on some stuff. I wonder quite a bit because I think – the Lions story is such a cool story. Man, what if he doesn't get hurt last year? You know, like, what if he's 100% in the postseason? Could that team have won a Super Bowl? I mean, the answer is yes. Not just him either. Like, he was a big part of it. They had injuries all over the place. They were so unlucky last year at the end of the year. We're not talking about them at all, I feel like, this offseason. And I know the reasons why, because a lot of teams around them should be better, but so should they, right?
Just
by being healthy. They lost their coordinators, and that's a big part. My goodness, though, they've got everything back.
It flies in the face of the rationale that a defensive player can't win your team a Super Bowl. I mean, I think absolutely if Hutchinson was healthy, then that would have been a major factor for the Lions to get all the way. I don't know if you've watched, I know you haven't because you don't have Netflix, but the second season of Quarterback is out and they're following Jared Goff and the Lions as one of the subjects. And it goes through last season and all of the injuries decimated on the defensive side. It runs through, and I had forgotten this had happened. It runs through the game they played against the Bills when the Lions lost 48-42, and Jared Goff played out of his mind offensively, but so did Josh Allen. And the Lions just didn't have anybody defensively to be able to shut down Buffalo. That, for sure, not just Hutchinson, he was a huge part of it, but
they were missing like eight or nine
all
guys.
Of the injuries. Like, they were pulling pulling guys off the street to come and play defense for them towards the end of last season. If they can stay healthy, I think I picked them to play in the Super Bowl last year and represent the NFC.
Sure, yeah.
I would absolutely do that again if they can stay healthy.
Well, and that's like, I just pulled up the defensive list of injuries, and it's worse than you even remember. I mean, Hutchinson's the headliner on it, but it's absolutely insane how many guys they lost like for the season last year on that side of the ball. I haven't paid close enough attention to their offseason to know like what's back, what's not back. I can't wait to make predictions because I'm very guilty of this as I've gone through the NFC. I keep thinking of it through the lens of the Eagles, of course. We talked about the Rams yesterday. I think about them a lot. Are the Niners back and healthy? We hear that all the time. I also think about that. Are the Commanders for real? And here sit the Lions, just quietly, who were the best team for a lot of last year, that had all of that to deal with. Now, yes, they did lose their coordinators, and that's hard to do the first time you have to do it. So we'll see how Dan Campbell handles it. But man, they got all those weapons back. Like, they should be ready to rock and roll this year. And they would be a team to put some money on. And I mean, I don't know what they're...
Not only do they have a guy in Jared Goff that has proven time and again that he can get the job done, but they've got one of the best running games in the NFL. They've got absolutely dynamic wide receivers. They've got one of the best tight ends in the game. Like, they are loaded offensively.
11-1 right now. 11-1. I told you the Rams a long time ago were one of my favorite bets at 19-1, but it's Ravens, Bills, Eagles, Chiefs. Chiefs are at 8.5-1. You can never get 8.5-1 for them. And then the Lions at 11-1. Yes, I did put a little down on the Chiefs at 8.5. The Lions at 11-1 that's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. That you see that report juicy. Coming out of camp.
That's juicy.
Tommy, Royals back at it tonight. Listen, the Twins suck. They got rid of all their players. They still have one, though, that you worry about, and it's who the Royals face tonight, Joe Ryan. He's one of the best pitchers in the American League, probably top five in the league. So we look at this, and it's a series. Even on the road, I feel like the Royals should sweep, but they'll have their work cut out for them tonight. It is Seth Lugo. If you go to the team website, I was just looking at the probable pitchers. Something interesting has happened. Bailey Falter's spot in the rotation normally is being skipped. They've already announced Ryan Burgert as the starter on Sunday. So we'll pay close attention to that. That's pretty interesting, I think. But anyway, tonight it'll be Lugo. It'll be Ryan. Two of the best in the American League. Two of the best in the American League for a little while now. Getting after it. And if you're the Royals, the goal, right, is to get Ryan out of that game as quick as you can. Work some counts. We know they've been good late in games now, the Royals have. You love the back end of the bullpen. Get Ryan out of that game as quick as you can.
Much easier said than done. Did you know what Joe Ryan's stats are against the Royals historically?
I have not looked, no.
Yeah, Ryan has pitched against the Royals 9 times. In 9 starts, Joe Ryan is 7-0. With a 130 ERA. So he has pitched the Royals historically very, very well.
Don't the Royals struggle in Minnesota historically recently? I believe.
Yeah, they don't play particularly well in Minnesota. In fact, I'm pretty sure that at one point they had like a losing streak or they had barely won any games. They don't play very well in Minnesota.
Let's just look at this. At the Twins this year, they are 1-2. Away last year, they were 2-5. In 23, they were 1-6. In 22, they were 2-8. They have really struggled in Minnesota. They're going to have to buck some things. But listen, Minnesota sucks. Right? Like, all that stuff goes out the window. Joe Ryan doesn't go out the window because that's like the one thing a bad team can do to you is throw a Joe Ryan's fantastic. And as you just pointed out, has been very good against the Royals, but they're going up against a pitcher that's been really good against them in a place that they have not been very good. And I do not care. They need to sweep this series. 2 out of 3 is an absolute must. And we're getting to that point now. the Royals, if they're going to do this thing, they are running out of time at this point. Like, they have to win these games, especially these games against bad teams. And you beat them up, not just split the 9 games, whatever it is. No, beat them up, dominate these next 9 games if they want to climb back into this thing.
Yeah, if you are a follower of the Wichita Wind Surge, now's the time to watch the Twins, because there are a lot of familiar names that have come through Wichita that are now playing for the Twins, especially offensively. Guys like Matt Wallner, Austin Martin got called up. Like, there are the players that are left in that organization that didn't get traded away at the trade deadline, a lot of them came through Wichita, and so there'll be some familiar names in this weekend series for sure. But it's going to be a challenge, regardless of the fact that you've got a rebuilt lineup, and outside of Joe Ryan, like, he's the only premier player left. It's we didn't really talk about it much at the deadline or right after the deadline. It's really questionable to me that the Twins shipped off all of these players and didn't move Joe Ryan. And I know that was the main topic of conversation around the deadline, was that he didn't get moved. But you're basically surrounding one of the best pitchers in baseball with a bunch of unknowns. And I just don't understand why, if you're going to do a fire sale, why you don't actually start with him to try to get the premium value back.
You know, I couldn't agree more. The reality, like, if you knew you were going to come in and sign him right now to a long-term deal, then okay, they're not going to do that. So if you're not going to do that, yeah, like, we saw the haul they just got for their closer. What do you think you could have gotten for Joe Ryan, who after this year will have 2 more years of control? Either trade him in the offseason, maybe that's their plan, I don't know. But, like, I was stunned by that too. Our guy Brandon Zinner's a big Twins fan. There's another great Twins fan in the office. I talked to them about the Twins quite a bit. They thought I was crazy for suggesting it, but I'm like, what are you going to do with Joe Ryan in the next 2 years? Like, they're not going to be any good. And I think the thought is they still have plenty of time to move him, because he'll have, even after this year, there are 2 years of control there. So there's time, but maybe you could have gotten even more now. And the other thing is, it puts those prospects in your system and gets them moving through right away instead of waiting. We'll see. It is very strange. I'm with you, to trade everybody away, but to keep your most valuable asset when they're not any good. Yeah. He's going to be 30 years old. They're not trying to spend any money. I think they're trying to sell that team. They're not going to sign him to a long-term deal. Like, he's got no future beyond these 2 years in Minnesota. I can't imagine.
I don't think they do. I don't think they have long-term plans for him. So at this point, everybody knows you're blowing the whole thing up, and it's a big fire sale. And it's shocking to me that as they were moving player after player after player after player, I mean, imagine the haul that they could have gotten in return for Joe Ryan. And maybe, I mean, I'm sure that there was a lot of interest in him. Maybe they felt like they weren't getting the response from the teams that they felt like they should, and that they didn't feel like the value in return was there, so they decided to hold on to him. But at that point, I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you're doing what they did at the deadline, move Joe Ryan too. That just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get the return. Did they listen to calls? But based on what they got for their closer, man, in the offseason will be, you'll probably have more suitors in the offseason, serious suitors, because you'll have more teams feeling like they're in it. So, okay, but you can't let him pitch through next year. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. If they're going to rebuild, and the reality is, like, trading all these pieces away, they still have Royce Lewis, they still have Byron Buxton, they still have some guys to build around. So maybe that's their thought too, is maybe I just don't think they're planning on being aggressive at any point. They're trying to sell the team. So I'm with you. But he goes tonight against the Royals, and he's going to be good, as he always is. Let me pull. He is at very, very seldom, and is certainly not against the Royals, but he has had games, and I know this because he's on my fantasy baseball team, but he's had games where he hasn't been lights out. So, like, I don't quite think of Joe Ryan like I think of Crochet or Scooble. He has been He like on July 26th, two starts ago, he went five innings and gave up four runs. He's had some crooked numbers this year. Hasn't been very often. It can't be, or your ERA is not under three. But he does feel like, I will say, outside of those like truly elite lights out, you feel like you have no chance against them starters, he is a little more prone to give up a handful of runs than those guys. Since June, Ryan has given up two or more runs seven times. So it's not, I don't know that it feels the same. Like with Crochet, it was like, are the Royals going to be able to score? You know, like he, with Ryan, I think you like, can the Royals pitching keep this game within a run or two, one direction or the other into the sixth inning? That's, I think, a little more about how I feel like. Or can they just get to Joe Ryan, right? Can they get to Joe Ryan? Let me look and see if any of his more troublesome starts. Yeah, it was a home start where he gave up three runs and five and a third. And then it was a road start when he gave up four in five innings. So it's either place. He's given up crooked numbers at home. He's really, really good. I don't know that I think of him like those other guys. So get to him tonight if you're the Royals. Get to him early. Don't waste opportunities. Goodness gracious. If you do get to him early, what do you think the Royals are going to do in the leadoff spot?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. I mean, that's we saw them make a change in the finale against the Red Sox, where Jonathan India did not start, and it was Mike Yastrzemski. It's interesting to think about what they could do with that. My gut tells me, I would imagine they go right back to India. I think India will probably be in leadoff tonight.
I think that's what they'll do, too. I'm not sure that I think it's what they should do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was interesting that both of those guys were extremely productive in the new slots in the finale. Like, India hit the ball really well at seventh, and Yastrzemski had a good game at leadoff. I don't know. Like, I think you could go both directions.
I don't want to lead off Yastrzemski. The other problem is I don't want to lead off Yastrzemski either. I want to lead off Mikel Garcia. But then India, no, you know what? I'm going to take that back in real time. Just lead off Jonathan India. Like Jonathan India, the only it's hard because he did find some success late in the game, but the one thing he has done okay this year is get on base at the top. Like that's, of all the other things he has not done well, that is the one thing he clings on to, is his ability to still at a pretty good clip, not at his career average or anything like that, is get on base. Yeah, he's an interesting guy. We'll have to dig into him someday. I wonder how much of playing at Kauffman, I need to look at his road and away splits. I wonder how much for him going from the Reds hitter-friendly park to Kauffman has hurt his numbers. But anyway, time for another day. You'll hear the Royals tonight on KFH. We'll come back. We got another hour. We're going to check in on the St. Jude Championship. When we return, don't go away. We got more Sports Daily coming right up.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.